Hi, this is Mark Snow, composer for the X-Files, and you are listening to the fabulous X-Cast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm Tony Black, your host, as ever, and we've got a very special, fun episode for you today because we're not talking about an episode. No, so you must be thinking, oh, well, you must have got another interview with Mark Snow or someone super famous. No, we haven't done that either, but we've decided to have some fun and get everyone, well, a bunch of people, who are contributing to the X-Cast blog on WordPress, which has been taking off over the last 2 months, and I'm joined by four people who have written articles for the blog and have done some wonderful stuff already, all massive X-Files fans who I found who just happened to like the page or just sailed on by on Facebook. And we've got to a point now where we pretty much talk every day. So I thought, let's get everyone on for what I would call a roundtable podcast. And we're going to talk in more detail about some of the roundtable blog questions that we've been putting up every Friday. For the last few weeks, which are going down really well. Lots of people are getting involved. One in particular has been a bit of a bit controversial, shall we say? But we're gonna get into that just because controversy is great, you know. So the more the merrier. So what I'm gonna do, you know my name, everybody. We're gonna go around in a circle. Imagine we're all sitting around a table. We've all got a coffee. We've all got some biscuits or whatever, and we're gonna go around the table and we're gonna introduce ourselves. Imagine if it's a bit like, you know, and. X-Files Anonymous meeting. we're going to go to my left. I have Sarah Blair. Say hello, Sarah.
Hello. How is everyone today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So, Sarah, where are you? Where are you hailing from?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Awesome. And I believe you're currently hiding in your closet, away from your children.
Yes.
Which sounds a lot more.
My kids are napping. I have limited time, so we're on borrowed time right now.
It sounds horrible, that, and it's really not that you're trying to escape your children. It's that we're on borrowed time. So yeah, thanks for joining us, Sarah. You're going to be on a podcast coming up over the next month where we talk one of the X-Files books. So
yes.
Yeah, that's going to be technically now your second appearance, even though we recorded that about a month ago. to Sarah's right, we have Carl Sweeney.
Hello.
How are you, Carl? Where are you from today?
Today I'm from West Bromwich in Birmingham.
Okay. Where were you yesterday, or where will you be tomorrow? Because that sounds very specific, didn't it?
Well, I'm a recent convert to the Midlands. I'm from the north of England originally, near Preston.
Okay.
I'm settled here now for the time being.
Cool. Lancashire, right, I believe, yeah. Preston. Yeah. The funny thing is that Carl and I are both, we're probably about 10 miles away from each other at this point. Because I grew up in the place that, pretty much, in the place that Carl lives. So it's weird coincidence, that we happen to find each other through the X-Files fandom.
Well,
you should
get together in real life.
I'll buy you a beer one day, Tony.
Yeah, I think Sarah's trying to set us up here, Carl. I see what she's doing. Look, I'll go on a date with you. Yeah. You know, it's fine. I'm good. I'm good with that.
Shipping us, please.
Old habits die hard.
That sounds good. Sounds good. To Carl's right, I think we're going right consistently, we have Paige Schechter. Have I said your name right, Paige?
You have. That's my name.
Oh, thank God. I was worried about that, I'll be honest. I didn't want to offend you or say it wrong. So that's good. Where are you right now, Paige?
I am in New Jersey, which means I'm in Eastern Standard Time with Sarah.
Ah, yay! Same time zone. Cool. Okay.
No,
yeah.
No closet for me.
You're not hiding from any children. Okay. That's good. That's good. And to Paige's right, we have Baz Greenland.
Hi.
And finally, Baz, where are you? Where are you hailing from today?
I'm currently in Cardiff, Wales, in the UK at the moment.
Ah, Cardiff. Cardiff. Yeah. I know it.
I've been there.
Have you? You've been there, Sarah? Really?
I have. Yeah, I studied in Swansea.
Oh wow!
No
for a semester. Yeah.
I'm not originally from Cardiff. I came down to uni here and I stayed around.
Yeah. Nice. It's beautiful there.
Baz, can I just put in? I know that you and I went to the same university. I know it's on Facebook.
Did we? Glamorgan,
is that? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, as my uni, yeah, back quite a while ago now, but yeah, back in there. Yeah. Graduated back in 2003 now. But
So where are you originally from, Baz?
Well, everywhere, basically. I was born in Kent, but I used to live up in Norfolk. I was up in Manchester and Lancashire, so I've got from where Carl was, actually. And Yorkshire as well. I've gone all over the place, and I've ended up in Cardiff.
Connections all over the place. I can't believe...
The X-Files bringing people together.
It really does. I can't believe, Sarah, that you went to Swansea. I used to date someone who lived near Swansea in Port Talbot.
Oh, So
I used to go down to Swansea quite a bit. Isn't that mad? It's mad. Yeah, mad connections.
Mad.
Small world.
Yeah, it really is. Really is.
Can I just slip this in casually?
Yeah.
When I was talking to Mitch, when I met him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You and Mitch. You and your best buddy.
we had a conversation about how the X-Files brought people together just like this. How it's, you
amazing.
Know, such a great show that everyone comes together.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know about you guys, I had about 10 minutes before Sarah brought Mitch up, and you know, we're not even at that, so you know, we should have had a bet on this. We should have done this.
You didn't. We should have made some good money on that.
we really could. So yeah, it's great to talk to you guys, because you know, we talk on our blog chat room, which is called Slack, which is a really good app, actually, if anybody knows about it. And we communicate quite a lot on that, most days, really. And there's a bunch of other people on there as well who hopefully will come and do a roundtable at some point if this is successful. But yeah, it's nice to speak to you guys. So we're gonna get into this, and we're going to talk some questions. And we've got some comments based on all these questions from people from the Facebook group. So thanks, guys. If you're listening to this, if you're on that Facebook group or you are on our page, then you may have sent in some questions when we put the call out there over the last week or so. Or you may have put some answers in as to these questions. So we'll be reading those out a bit later. But we're going to go through three questions of our own, and then we've got a few other listener questions or blog reader questions to go through as well. So, we're gonna start off with the most contentious one. And I think what we'll do, to make this fair at the beginning, we'll go around everybody, and then everyone can get an opinion, and then if anyone wants to, you know, add to that or chip in or anything like that, go for it. We don't all have to be silent, even though we can't see each other and we're depending on the miracle of Skype. So, but just go for it. But our first roundtable question is, can the X-Files survive without Mulder and Scully? Let's start this one with Carl, because you've got an interesting perspective on this one, haven't you?
Well, the way I look at it is this. One day, so, you know, maybe hopefully not for a long time, Duchovny and Anderson are going to pick up the flashlight for the last time. And I think it's almost inevitable that Fox will want to do something with the X-Files brand or franchise at some point, and it'll go either one or two ways. They'll either reboot and recast Mulder and Scully, or they'll the X-Files name, have new agents, and it'll be X-Files the New Generation or something like that. I think either of those paths are difficult, but if it's done with skill and care, I don't see why it couldn't work. I'm not sure it would bring all the hardcore fans along necessarily, but that's possibly a different question. And I think the question people often sort of answer is, would it be as, you know, what they're hearing is, would it be as good as the original X-Files series? Well, not many things are, really. There's no reason why a new X-Files didn't succeed in its own right, in my view.
Controversial stuff. Just to leap in, does anyone vehemently disagree or agree with this one?
I agree on a lot of levels with that. I've always maintained that the X-Files as a concept would work really well with other characters if the fan base gave it a chance, which... And judging by the responses we got from the roundtable discussion blog, they're not willing to give it a chance.
Yeah.
If then, in when we just had the most recent season, when they did Agents Einstein and Miller, that's the way you should not do it.
Absolutely.
Trying to ape too much of what came before it, that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to have strong characters. And I am one of, again, the small minority who liked Doggett and Reyes. And I think that's the way you can make it work, is you take two different characters who have very complex motivations and backgrounds, and as a concept, like a Twilight Zone, like something like that, like an Alfred Hitchcock Presents, you can keep going on. But if you try and ape it, or if you try and dumb it down, it just won't work.
Yeah, I think that's there's a lot of truth to that, and I think this is the thing. It's using the Twilight Zone as a comparison. You know, the X-Files. The tricky part with all this is that the X-Files has kind of grown into what it is because of Mulder and Scully in many ways, and because of the feelings people have about Mulder and Scully. Just to take an example from the answers we got on the blog for this, when we put out there this question, Jess Thompson said, "I don't think those of us that have always watched it would be up for X-Files with Mulder and without Mulder and Scully. I know for a fact I wouldn't be. New viewers, maybe." So that kind of, you know, suggests maybe that It would be something, like Carl said, the new generation, the next generation. Maybe that's something that other people could embrace. Baz, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I agree. Doggett's a brilliant character. And Reyes, she had some good moments. I think she wasn't fully developed. But together, they were really great. And this is the frustrating thing is, the X-Files actually did this. They actually went on and became the Doggett and Reyes show. Except they didn't, because they kept bringing in Scully and William, and then Mulder came back and it got cancelled. But actually, I'm actually kind of working my way through season 9 at the moment. And the best ones, the best episodes, are the ones with Doggett and Reyes, because you actually start to see what it would look like as X-Files Next Generation. I think absolutely, I think they were on the right path. They just didn't execute it very well in season 9. I think it actually makes it harder now. I would be much prefer that they do something like that again rather than reboot. I think our people are going to want to see Mulder and a new person playing Mulder and Scully. I mean, that would probably put people off more. But I think it's now made harder by the fact they actually did become X-Files Next Generation. They'd have Doggett and Reyes, and then they kind of ballsed up a little bit and wasn't successful in the execution. So I think it can do, but I think its chances of actually doing it now are hindered a lot by what he did with season 9.
Yeah, and season 9 was, I suppose, at the wrong time for the fandom to be able to accept it. You know, there's a big argument to suggest that the fandom have never really been able to accept, you know, season 9. A lot of people kind of try and airbrush it from history, when it's interesting to go back. You know, you're doing that now, Baz, as you say, you're going back and you're revisiting it, like a lot of people haven't done. And, you know, a lot of people have interesting opinions on this one. Another blog quote from Clara Jean Cook said, "I don't think so," in answer to the question. "They're integral to the show, Mulder and Scully. I loved Reyes and Doggett, but I think it only worked because Scully was involved in the show with Doggett from the get-go. And there was always the possibility of Mulder coming back, so that kept the show going. Without either of the two leads, it is not the X-Files, in my opinion. It would be another show in the X-Files universe like The Lone Gunman or Millennium. It would be like making The Sopranos without Tony Soprano." Sarah, I suppose the question is to you, is the concept of the X-Files completely reliant on these two characters? Or is the concept bigger? And do you, I mean, people are so tied up with Mulder and Scully now, and for understandable reasons, because they're brilliant characters. But would it work? Would the show work without them as a concept? Or is it just not the same thing?
I think as a concept, possibly. But when you're just talking about those people who have airbrushed season 9, that's me. Like, I still haven't gone back and watched it. There's, like, I mean, as far as, you know, Mulder goes, as soon as he disappears, that's, to me, that's not the show anymore. It's, you know, it is X-Files as Mulder and Scully, but at the same time, I think it's possible that it could be, you know, a reboot or something like that. If you take, you would have to take the characters, new characters, and give them a completely new and separate mythology. I don't think that the X-Files mythology as it is, with, you know, Mulder's quest for Samantha and the aliens and the consortium, all of that put together, I just don't think that, you know, a new characters would not have that quest. There's no way they could. It just doesn't seem like it would make sense or function. So in that respect, I don't think it would have to be a completely new show, basically. And then at that point, is it really The X-Files? I don't know.
Mm. Well, it was interesting because apparently, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but Frank Spotnitz, in thinking of a season 10 originally back in the day after season 9, was imagining a show without Mulder or Scully, without Gillian Anderson moving on and things like that. And I think the idea was that he was going to really bring up the demonic sort of mythology that was sort of in the last couple of seasons, in episodes like Empedocles, you know, that kind of idea of the evil virus kind of thing. And I think he was going to focus more on that as a mythology, a bit like, and I thought, I've always thought this, I wonder if he was planning to make his Night Stalker remake part of the X-Files universe and make that another retrofitted spin-off like Millennium, because that had a very occult, demonic mythology. So maybe he had that in mind, that he would have ended up bringing Kolchak into the show with Mulder and Scully, or with that. We imagine that. Wouldn't that have been, like, amazing in its own way?
Yeah, I think they set it up really well. That would have worked really well after season 9. Season 9, actually, has got a lot of kind of dark stuff in it as well, particularly with Reyes, because that's her expertise. So I think they've established... I think it would work quite well. They've established Doggett as a character. They've got the foundation of Reyes, and I think that could have gone somewhere, actually. I would quite like to have seen that.
Just on what Sarah said about, you know, would it really be The X-Files anymore? I mean, I think we have to recognise that if this happened, the reason it would be happening was because Fox would be seeking to sort of cash in, basically. It wouldn't necessarily start off for artistic reasons. I think that what would happen is you'd have a huge amount of scepticism at first about whether something like this could succeed, from hardcore fan base prominently. If it came out of the blocks strongly, opinion would shift, I think. I think the problem would be that if it happened, a new series wouldn't get the same time to kind of bed itself in that the original X-Files series did back in 1993. You know, it would have to be very good from day one, more or less.
Yeah.
Well, I think the mistake that happened with Miller and Einstein was that they were trying to make them caricatures of Mulder and Scully. They were trying to, you know, just essentially copy them and make them their clones, so to speak.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of where they went wrong with them. They weren't really their own people. It felt like they were just copies.
They were more like a weird Chris Carter in-joke, weren't they? I mean,
right, yeah.
You know, hence why he brought them in Babylon, which seems like one big sort of weird in-joke that only he and his own id understands. Yeah, you know, so, and then they decided to use them in My Struggle 2, and then you really begin to see how, you know, pointless they are. And they'll be back. They'll be back in season 11. You can bank on that, because he loves them, you know. And so we're not done with them. It doesn't matter how much you pray, they're coming back, I'm sure of that. But, it, you know, all this, it does go back to, people keep saying very similar things about this. Andrew Brooker on the blog said, nope, it was his first, the first words, nope, no,
nope.
Not only are they too integral to the show as just main characters, without Mulder's investment in the X-Files, we wouldn't have any investment either. We watch, or at least I watch, to follow Mulder on his journey. Without that, there's no reason to continue watching. Also see the later seasons of the original show. I'd rather have no more X-Files than X-Files without Mulder and Scully. With an exclamation mark, so Brooker's particularly furious about this one. Heresy, perhaps, but would you want The Sopranos without Tony? The Wire without McNulty? Breaking Bad without Walter White? It goes back to the same point, really, that Clara made on the same blog, which is, and some of you have made here, which is the idea of whether or not, you know, the show is about them or not. And it is interesting. It is an interesting thing to discuss, really, whether or not with Mulder's quest, and potentially his Mulder's quest being fulfilled, could you do it again? Paige, if you were to think about an X-Files without them, how would you imagine it? How would you go about it, do you think?
I can actually very easily see this, and it's just getting the fan base to buy into it, because they do think it's the Mulder and Scully show, and it has been for a reason, for a good reason, because they were so engrossing, because we got so attached to what they were doing. But I would have watched that show you were just talking about with Spotnitz and Kolchak, and I like season 9. I like, well, not every single episode of season 9, but John Doe, I think, is one of the best episodes of the series run. And because people haven't seen that, that makes me so upset. So you give them something of such high quality and they're still not really interested. I don't know how to do it so that the Mulder and Scully fans will buy into it. Maybe it would have to be new generation and the small select group of people who did like this premise as it stood and don't just want to see Mulder and Scully, but want to see more stories in this vein.
Yeah, and this is it. This is the eternal question.
I mean, we kind of did have it, though, as a concept, which was kind of Fringe.
Yeah.
I think the thing about Fringe, mm-hmm. though, is it got better when it moved away from the X-File concept and went with its own alternate reality thing. So I don't know. And I think maybe – I think people were a little bit apprehensive and they weren't that keen when it was involving the kind of mysterious case of the week. So I don't know if because they viewed it as an X-Files clone or not, but I think you've got to, it does suggest that it is more about people certainly come back for Mulder and Scully. Would they come back for two new agents investigating the supernatural? I don't know, because the Fringe, say, only got more popular and got better in a way when it moved away from being that X-Files clone.
Kathy Owen Glinsky on the blog said, to answer the question, the relationship between those characters drives the show and always has. That's why it didn't matter when the X-Files were shut down or when Mulder and Scully were taken off. It wasn't about the cases as much as it was about Mulder and Scully working together. Season 8 worked while Mulder was gone because it built to his return. Season 9 didn't work because he was just gone. So that is the suggestion, what you're saying, Baz, is that it's the show is about those two and it's not about the concept. And this is where it all very much seems to blur, doesn't it? It seems to get very much... You see it in a lot of the fandom, and I think the fandom's brilliant, really, for The X-Files, but you see a lot of it blurs the lines between Mulder and Scully as characters, David and Gillian as people, and the romance either between all four of them, weirdly. And it's, you know, it's very much invested in them, isn't it, as people and as characters, and not really about the idea of what The X-Files is.
Can I offer an alternative perspective, Tony?
Of course.
So, I mean, recently, Mulder and Scully are a huge part, obviously. I don't think anyone would dispute that. But recently you interviewed John Kenneth Muir, is that right? About his book. Now, his book doesn't really touch on Mulder and Scully at all. He's written, 400 or 500 pages, and he's written extensively about the monsters and the science and the way the X-Files looks at history. And I just think it sort of sells the X-Files as a series a bit short. Exclusively focus on Mulder and Scully when there were a lot of other things that the program did really, really well too. I think if you see an episode like The Museums of a Cigarette Smoking Man, for example, or Travelers to a slightly lesser extent, I think what it shows is that the world the X-Files created was interesting in its own right. And Mulder and Scully obviously were a huge part of that, but not and to be all and end all.
You know, there's another good example of that that I immediately always leaps to my mind, and it's from later on, and it's Red Rum in Season 8, which is all about Joe Morton's lawyer, and obviously it's Memento, basically, the whole thing. But it's barely, you know, Scully's, I think, barely in it. Doggett's only in a few scenes, and it's pretty much entirely from this character Martin Wells and his journey, and it's really good. It's a great piece of drama. And it is more like a sort of Outer Limits kind of episode, really. And that's, or, you know, the Twilight Zone. And it's great. And you think to yourself, oh, man, you know, when they do either these guest characters or these supporting characters really well, it kind of just evolves, you know, in its own way. And, you know, a few people have said similar. Our final comment about this was from Christopher Loring Knowles, who has written some fantastic blogs about, in depth, about the show. He doesn't believe Mulder and Scully shouldn't be there. He doesn't think he would survive. He said there have been a dozen or so knockoffs of The X-Files, and the occult detective formula is generally stale by now. You know, and he said, have you watched Supernatural recently? I don't know if anyone... Does anyone still watch Supernatural?
Like,
in its 45th season?
Yeah.
Has it sort of lost its point now?
It peaks and troughs. It gets better for a while, then it gets tired again. But I think Supernatural is the kind of X-Files successor in a way, because it's got the same format.
I agree with that. There are times where you're like, oh, this is the best thing I ever saw, and then the next episode will be like this complete dud, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Aren't there a few episodes of The X-Files like that too?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Christopher talks about something that actually John Muir mentions in his book, The X-Files FAQ, which is a great book. He says, a lot of people may not realise that there was a show remarkably similar to The X-Files called Friday the 13th, the series, in the late 80s. And John Muir talks about this in his book. And while I personally loved it, it simply didn't have the same aura that The X-Files had. The zeitgeist shifted in the early 90s and The X-Files was able to capitalise on that. But it was the Mulder-Scully relationship, which didn't really kick in until Gillian got pregnant, ironically, that gave the series that operatic thrust that, say, a Warehouse 13 didn't have. I don't know if any of you saw Warehouse 13, but that was a good example of a another kind of show, which was, you know, all these shows that have followed the X-Files, and John Muir talks about those in his book as well. You know, a raft of very similar shows that were on at the same time as the original series and, you know, still exist, that in many of them haven't been able to recapture that magic. And I suppose to finish this conversation, does it come back to the alchemy between David and Gillian, just the fact you've got these two iconic characters, and is it just a show about monsters without any you know, flair without them?
I think that David and Gillian have a lot to do with the success of the X-Files, and the charisma between them is just, you know, you can't beat that, and you can't find it anywhere, really. I don't think that could be competed with, but you know, I really liked that new version of Kolchak that they did. I don't know, I think it was only maybe 8 episodes or something. It was really, really short, and it got cut off too soon, I thought. It had Stuart Townsend in it.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was a great show. I really wish they would have let that go a little bit longer and let the fan base build up. But that was another one that I was thinking of when you're listing off the not spinoffs, but predecessors or whatever. That was a really good show.
Well, let's be clear, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson is lightning in a bottle. It's one of the iconic pairings in television history. Whoever follows them, if somebody does follow them, would do very well to get anywhere near that. That doesn't mean that a compelling partnership couldn't be created with other characters or other actors.
I agree. Yeah, I think absolutely. I think that's the toughest part. Absolutely, as a concept, absolutely, the X-Files could continue. Would he be a success without Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny? Possibly not, and that's because they're so good. And that's I don't think it is. Definitely is. It both is and isn't a show about them, because the concept is fantastic. You could absolutely do several seasons of a show built around the same concept, but I just don't think it would necessarily get there without them too involved.
Paige, what about you? What final word?
Well, it's much the same. I think that the fan base wants Mulder and Scully, and I think if they do something at the high level of quality, that people will pick up on it and run with it. But it has to be really superior kind of stuff. They can't give us lamoid stuff.
Okay, so yeah, that's our first question then. Can the X-Files survive without Mulder and Scully? Let us know what you think if you haven't already, and I think most people have, either on Twitter or Facebook. but if you are out there and you haven't told us no very loudly on Twitter, then feel free. or if you have an alternate opinion, that's good too. You can, of course, you know, do that in our Facebook group, which is the X-Cast podcast and X-Files fan group, which you can find on Facebook, or you can find our page if you just type in the X-Cast on Facebook. So look those up. We're going to take a fan question next. Now, I suppose I'm going to be surprising you guys with these, because I haven't actually prepared them for you in advance, but they're not too taxing. So our fellow blogger, Andrew Blaker, has asked a question. The three questions we've got all are about the future. Okay, so we're gonna do this. Here's what Andrew said. What does everyone think about the myth arc retcon in Season 10? I know many fans don't consider Season 10 as canon, and are upset by the fact Chris Carter seems to have erased key tenets of the mythology. Do we see it as a retcon, or do we think Chris Carter is just pulling another Gethsemane / Redux from Season 5? Does Chris Carter have a plan, or is he winging it? Sarah.
Well, I don't know. I have... Oh, Chris Carter. I think it's a little bit of both. Bless him. I think he started off with this amazing idea, and it might have got out of hand a little bit. And now he's just sort of, let's just do what we want to do. Let's just do whatever we need to do to get more episodes. That's kind of the way I saw the end of Season 10 was, let's make sure we get the fans fired up enough so that they'll petition Fox for more. Yeah. He likes to take us on these wild rides, and
he does.
And we love it. We love him for it, I think. So, yeah.
I'm not sure Andrew does anymore. But, Baz, what do you think?
I'm going to say, well, it feels like winging it. The thing I hated most was the retcon in the series, because it didn't probably didn't help. I very recently watched Redux before I watched the new series, and it just felt like it's the same thing over and over again, but at the same time erasing everything that came after it. It's like it kind of forgot anything after the first movie and went, oh, that didn't happen. But then you had things like William being referred to the series. So they obviously, there's a plan for that character, which is good because the AI engine was terrible. But yeah, it just kind of felt like he was trying to get new fans and get new people in and kind of completely rebooting it. And it just didn't work because it didn't make sense. To the particularly the point when it was the reactions of Mulder and Scott, like, oh my God, they're using alien technology. There's like, you've known that, you've seen that many, many times. Why are you having such a severe reaction to what you're hearing now? It's like, so it's all blown open. Well, no, it's been blown open several times and you've seen this before. So it kind of really felt, it almost felt like a quasi reboot in terms of the myth up, certainly. And I hated it, actually, to be honest. It's the thing that, while I like bits of the first and last episodes, I just think that was definitely the weakest element by far. It was almost like a way to get them back in and kind of and gloss over that, unfortunately, the big 2012 invasion. Well, we actually missed 2012, so we're kind of saying sort of happening. Yeah, it really didn't work for me.
Well, it just in case anyone's not sure about what Andrew means at this point, and you probably all are, but the idea of the retcon is basically that in my struggle, it's suggested to Mulder that he's been conned all these years, and it's actually been after Roswell, and they got the technology for the alien technology in Roswell, that it's basically all been one sort of, you know, human plot to control, you know, the world through alien technology. And the whole idea of colonization, it's kind of still there, but it's kind of, you know, sort of not. And there's, you know, it's all to do with human DNA. It's very, and you know, it sort of ignores things like the black oil and so much. And obviously with Redux, it was the case that Mulder was told by Kritschko all of this arcane lore, which they had told Kritschko to tell him. Basically, they'd fooled Kritschko about, which was suggesting that it was all a big cover up and there were no aliens. So it's the same kind of thing. Paige, what do you think about this one? Do you think that this is all part of a bigger plan?
Winging it.
Yeah,
he's winging it. Chris Carter himself has always said, "We don't have a Bible. We don't have a place we're trying to go." He might have ideas for a particular season and then maybe where they lead to, but there is no concrete anything when it comes to the X-Files. And there are a lot of things that when you look back at, they don't make sense. And then if you look ahead now, that doesn't make sense. So we have a lot of that. And so we're going along on this glorious roller coaster ride, which we've taken, and we're still waiting for answers. You know, when that screen faded on the last episode of season 10, everybody freaked the F out, you know, but he's winning it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, well, obviously, how he starts season 11, assuming we're going to get season 11, and I'm pretty confident at this point we will, assuming we do. Carl, what do you think? Do you think he's going to sort of come back and keep going with, you know, I mean, the cliffhanger was huge. It was, you know, an alien ship in the middle of Washington, D.C. Everyone could see it. You know, Mulder was dying of a virus. You know, how does he pull back from this without, you know, basically turning around and going, yeah, Mulder was lied to again?
I think it's quite likely that there'll be some kind of reverse on what we saw in season 10. In terms of how the story plays out, I think we've got to treat it as a bit of a work in progress. In terms of the mythology as drama, it's entirely legitimate, I think, to criticize My Struggle 1 and 2. I think, you know, there were some sequences, some good scenes. There were problems with those episodes. So I think we can give him a bit of slack in terms of the plotting for now. And next set of mythology episodes really need to sort of hang together better as, as entertaining episodes of television, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when we come back. So thanks, Andrew, for that question. Hopefully we've got a little bit into, you know, this whole is Chris Carter winging it? Probably.
I mean, if you look at a show like Breaking Bad, when everything from beginning to end and in each episode separately, I mean, that is a show that is planned.
Yeah, I suppose
Carter, not so much. Yeah,
I suppose the X-Files did benefit from being very loosely planned in a lot of ways, especially in the early years where they would kind of improvise effect. I think you can only do that so many times.
So we'll see if his improvisation skills pay off in season 11, which you never know. By the time you hear this, maybe the announcement will be there. We'll see. We're living in hope.
We want to believe.
We want to believe, Sarah. True. We're going to go back to one of the roundtable questions that we came up. And I'm going to say at this point, big thanks to Carl, because he's the one who came up with this very idea for doing a roundtable on the blog and has often suggested the questions. So round of applause for Carl, I think.
Thank you.
And this next one was a bit of a classic question, which is, who or what is the best monster of the week from the entire X-Files show? So let's start this one with Paige. Who do you think? Who gets this one?
Oh, man. There's so many choices. Okay, I guess I'll go with what I said. I don't know if it was on the blog or if it was on the post afterwards. I love the John Lee Roach character in Paper Hearts. I thought we got a great performance. What it did best of all is, how do you turn the X-Files on its ear and still be palatable, still be, hey, that could have happened. That might have been the way it happened. But that man was a monster, you know, with the little girls and the hearts of their dressing gowns. That was a true monster. And he still creeps me out to this day. And I've met him in person and creeped out.
Well, yeah, Tom Noonan's a really good actor, isn't he? And he, I think he's played other kind of creepy characters in the past over the years. Yeah, and he's, I mean, Paper Hearts is an absolute brilliant episode. It's up there. I'd put it up there probably possibly in my top 25. So yeah, John Lee Roach, and you did mention it on the blog page. Yeah, that's a great choice. Stephen Hubert went with Eugene Victor Toombs, which is a pretty standard one. And Jess Thompson again went with Donnie Faster. So Donnie Faster is my favorite. Baz, what about you?
I think Toombs is the best. Is the original and the best. I don't think they ever really topped him. And it's interesting that he's the one that got the sequel, because it was that first time of the idea of this monster that can come through any kind of hole, come through a toilet, anywhere and get you. It was pretty horrifying, and it still stands up today. I think it's definitely one of the best, most terrifying X-Files they did. Probably my favourite is probably the Fluke Man. It wasn't as good a story as Toombs, and as Squeeze and Toombs. But my God, that is the most gruesome, horrifying creature. And again, it's one of those kind of, it cut in this lurking in the waters. It looks horrible. It sounds horrible. And it's the one that repulses you and terrifies you at the same time when you watch it. Absolutely brilliant.
Again, a great choice. Mentioned by Jeremy Daniels as well on the blog. He said Fluke Man and Toombs, hands down the best monsters the show ever created. I think the peacocks are up there too. And Jess Thompson agreed that the peacocks are up on her list from Home. Pretty creepy, she said. Carl, your favourite episode is Home. Would you say the peacocks are your favourite monsters?
I think on the blog I actually said Toombs, because I think Squeeze was so influential for the rest of the series. Yeah, the peacocks would definitely be up there. I think an episode that I've seen recently, which has gone up in my estimation, is Detour, actually. I always liked it, but last time I saw it, I really, really liked it. And I don't know what you call those guys, the sort of Mothmen type, invisible red-eyed creatures, but that's a really good episode, and they're really good monsters, I think.
Weren't they like a Portuguese sort of
they found
settlers?
The Fountain of Youth,
Ponce de Leon, weren't they?
It's a really good example of that. That's actually quite a ridiculous idea, really, but it's played really seriously, and it works really well.
And it's got some terrific music from Mark Snow, that episode as well, which we played in our Mark Snow episode. But yeah, good choice. On the blog, we had Andrew Corvero, who's a friend of mine, said Donnie Faster again. Creepiest serial killer on TV. Andrew also said the Black Oil. Does that count as a monster? I don't know if it counts as a monster of the week either, because it's obviously ongoing. What do you guys reckon? Do you think the Black Oil counts as a monster?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. I think the way it can possess you and control you is terrifying. I guess maybe it's best as a monster when it's in the movie, because it just stays into the kind of alien.
Yeah.
It's a recurring monster.
He can get away with it then. we'll let him have it. Jonathan Hargaden as well, who has the one of the people who has the, an amazing X-Files collection. If you haven't liked Jonathan's page, get on that, because it's an amazing page. He said the Great Mutato from the Postmodern Prometheus, one of my favourite episodes. And he's a very different kind of monster, isn't he? Because he's not really a monster at the end of the day, is he?
He's the most likable monster. He's still kind of monstrous.
One of my quotes from my book is, it takes more than claws and fur to make someone a monster. I think it applies to the Great Mutato too.
Sarah, what's your choice? Would you say the Great Mutato, or who, would you go for someone different?
My favorite monster would probably have to be Big Blue. I think the scariest one is probably definitely Donnie Faster. I can't clean my hairbrush out without thinking about him.
It's interesting how Donnie ties with Toombs in terms of the people who commented on this as the scariest. And I think it's because he's like... I mean, there is the suggestion that he's a bit of a demon, obviously, you know, in it, a literal demon. But he is also very sort of human in many ways, isn't he? And I think that's what makes him scarier, in that it could, in theory, be the guy living next door.
Oh, yeah. Or the guy in Too Shy.
Yeah.
You know... I think everyone who sort of grew up in, like, there's that small window of people who grew up with, you know, just getting online and meeting people from the internet. Remember how so scary it used to be? And now, you know, you don't hardly think anything of it with all the dating sites and all these things. You just, you know, you meet people online and you get to know them, and then you meet them in real life sometimes. And, you know, usually it works out pretty well, but... You know, when the internet was first starting out and all that, it was, you know, you better take your friend with you, or, you know, have some backup just in case the person is a total creeper or something like that. And that's, I think, played into those fears pretty well.
Well, me and Carl don't need a dating site with you around, Sarah. You know, you're just setting us up as we go. but it's true. It is true. You're absolutely right. And he taps into that fear very well. Mine is Pusher, Robert Patrick Modell. By far my favourite monster, because again he's quite a sad human man, really, with a power, and I just think, I mean, everyone probably knows that Pusher is my favourite episode anyway, so it was always going to be Pusher. I think the last word has to go to one of my best friends, Matt Latham, who said Dave Krychek. And if anyone has listened to Genderbender, the episode we did with Genderbender, where we talked about how Nicholas Lee in that is possibly Krychek's cousin Dave. Then that's good. Dave Krychek, he's transgender cousin. So yeah, thanks Latham. Always there to not take it seriously.
One more, because no one has said Luther Lee Boggs, and I don't know how you get through a discussion on this without Luther Lee Boggs.
Oh,
and the brilliant Brad Dourif.
Yeah, good shout, Paige. Definitely. Yeah. He, for you, what is it about him that makes him so awesome?
Oh God, he just... It's sort of like he gets into you the way he's getting into Scully, and well, first she grows and she changes in front of our eyes. And I don't think I could be as strong when faced with someone of, you know, that utter strength that he has. I think I would just wither away and that, you know, I'd be like crumpled on the floor. But Dana, you know, she stands up to him, but that is a monster, and Brad Dourif was absolutely brilliant.
I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more there. I think most people would think the same there. Great one. Great one for us to finish on. Okay, we're going to go to another blogger question. Now, this is from Megan Shaw, so thanks for this, Megan. And this goes back to the future again. Not literally back to the future. But this, Megan asks, do you think if there is a season 11 that William will return as part of the show? And if so, what do you think this return will be like? Carl?
Well, I think that William was mentioned in the very last scene of season 10. I think it's quite possible that, you know, the search to find William will be a part of at least the first episode, probably more. As to what it'll be like, I have no idea. I mean, as far as we know, he's still on the farm in Kansas, isn't he? So how old will he be now? He'd be grown up, won't he?
He'd be 17, okay. 16, something like that. When did she give birth? It was season,
end of season 8.
Was that 2001, Baz?
No, it was 2000, I think it was. It was, it was 2000. Like 2000. So, yeah, time the series comes on, he'll be about 17, yeah.
Yeah, I think if we do see William, it's going to be a very tricky one, because casting will be very important there. And I don't know, I think you'd have to be very, you'd have to make a very considered decision as casting an actor to play William, because it's quite a tough role to pull off, I'd imagine.
Yeah, because he's going to be an interesting character, because he's... It depends what he's going to be like, really. It depends if he's just going to be a very normal boy who's kind of... He doesn't understand what powers he has, that he's kind of repressed them. I mean, it depends if he's going to be more like a Gibson Praise, or he's going to be more like, you know, like I say, the kind of boy who doesn't really understand what he is. My instinct is that Chris Carter would go down the second path, that he would be much more of a boy who is... he knows there's something not quite right about himself. He's always known that. But he's grown up believing a bit like Clark Kent in Smallville.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Clark Kent. Yep.
He's grown up believing that he's fairly normal, and he's tried to be normal, but he knows deep down that there's some... Yeah, this is basically going to be Smallville, isn't it? Basically, yep. That's effectively what it's going to be. I don't know, Sarah. What do you think?
I'm with you. Yeah, I was sitting here thinking, yeah, he's going to be Superman.
Yeah,
he's going to be Clark Kent. So, you know, and I mean, with Chris Carter pantsing his pants off, I mean, we could really get anything. There's no telling what we could expect. It's hard to guess at that.
The X-Files in space, maybe.
Yeah, surely not far away.
I mean, is he driving the spaceship? Like, she's like, we have to find William. Maybe he's the one that's driving the spaceship. He's like, yeah. I got you, Mom. We're all good here.
He just swoops down.
Maybe
yeah.
he's like full-fledged alien at this point. Like, it could be anything.
He could be, because there was the whole, whether or not, you know, Chris Carter will choose to ignore this or not, I don't know, but there was the whole idea that William was either going to be, if I remember it rightly, that he was either going to be the saviour of mankind, or he was going to be the destroyer of mankind, basically, and that he was potentially greater than the alien, that he was some sort of god, like, potentially godlike figure. And that, given his, as Andrew questioned earlier, given how he's not really been very slavish to the previous mythology, he might just choose to have it that William is their adopted son. And he kind of mentions that he's a bit alien, but he doesn't really go into it a fat lot. It might just be that he's got alien DNA, and that's what helps cure the virus. I don't know. Paige, what do you think?
This is what I think. William is with Krychek, because Krychek did not die at the end of season 8, since he was converted to a super soldier and couldn't be killed the way Skinner allegedly killed him. So Krychek has him, and he's no longer in the Midwest being a farm boy and future Clark Kent, but he's been won over by the magnetic personality, which is Alex Krychek, and who knows what evil he will be used for in season 11.
Nobody dies on the X-Files.
No. Nobody dies. I really want that to be true, actually. I think that'd be great. I wish Krychek was in it. I really do. Yeah. I miss Krychek. I think it'd be great if he came back. So, yeah.
Just in terms of William, sorry. I hope we see William again, that works out well, because I think it's one sort of plot strand that never really with as much quality as it deserves, really. So, I think it's almost certain we'll see William again, and I hope this time they sort of pull it off.
Yeah, and they get it right. Yeah. What do you think, Baz? Do you think they will get it right? Do you think that Chris Carter kind of knows where he's going to go with this, and he's known for a while?
I don't know, because the last episode I watched was William, and it was terrible, and they completely screwed up the ending to his story. However, I don't know, and they've kind of ripped it in the corner, because I kind of see it as in season 9. Be in the search for William, and that's kind of an ongoing storyline. It gives them some momentum, but they've kind of the whole thing that Mulder needs his DNA now to save him. So if I've got to find William in the first episode, or Mulder's got to be someone kind of alive but dying, needs William's DNA, and at some point during the series I'll find him. I think we're definitely going to find him at some point. I really hope that they don't go down the kind of bratty, abusive teenager that doesn't want to know them, because that could go hot wrong in so many ways. But I don't know. I think we will definitely see William. I'd like to think that it's going to take a little while to get there, and it'll probably take a few episodes. Maybe like a series 11 arc. But I guess people, what they're going to do, if they're going directly by the mythology, that of course his lot has been ignored. He's been cured because he was an injected with something, and suddenly he's no longer this super soldier miracle. But he obviously has his alien DNA in him, so maybe that's enough to save Mulder. I don't know, but I really don't know what they're going to do, but we will definitely see him at some point, I think.
I get the feeling, Megan, that you're going to want to see him. So, like, I hope that it turns out to be the case. So, thanks for your question there. That's great. We're going to go on to another blogger question, actually, which is connected to season 11. So, this one is a simple one, basically. Do you think Vince Gilligan will return to write an episode of season 11? It might be a yes from the dogs. I don't know.
Yes, my dog has just voted yes. I'm sorry.
Paige, what do you think with this one? Do you think Vince Gilligan's going to come back?
Oh, thanks, Cody, for making me go first. That's my dog's name. I sure hope so. I mean, because his talent was so unique and very particular, and he had this way of making things that seemed totally ridiculous seem like it could happen, like paying the phone bill or something. It just made the totally ridiculous seem sublime. So I'm going to vote yes in the hope it pushes him over the edge.
Yeah, it would be great. Vince Gilligan obviously wrote some of the, he did write some of the best X-Files. I mean, he wrote Pusher, which is my favorite. He wrote episodes like Bad Blood. He wrote Drive, which people love. Yeah, Paper Hearts, yeah. He's, you know, I think a lot of people may actually say, would go out there and say he might be the best writer that ever wrote for the X-Files. Carl, what do you think? Do you think he's the best writer? Do you think he should be back?
He definitely needs to be included in that discussion. I think with Glenn Morgan and James Wong, I would love him to come back. I don't think it will happen. I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened last time round. You never know, do you? So I hope so. I'm not sort of holding my breath, but I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I suppose it depends what he's doing now, really. He was doing Better Call Saul, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's still going on, isn't it? So that's what that may be a sticking point.
Yeah, it comes down to, you know, all these guys are busy. You know, like Frank Spotnitz has been busy doing The Man in the High Castle. Well, he was anyway, and he's finished that now. But he's got a bunch of different shows, and he lives in London, so it's difficult for him to be involved. So it's an interesting thing, really. I mean, Baz, what do you think? Do you think that Vince and do you think any other writers are going to kind of come back for this? And do you think we might get any other of the original writers pop back in?
I don't know. People like Frank Spotnitz and, Vince Gilligan. It'd be nice. I guess it really comes down to how many episodes are going to be. There's toggle. Is it 8? Is it 13? Is it 10? Sounds like, based on some of your rumours, it's going to be around 10 episodes. And maybe the reason we didn't get enough writers last time, obviously Chris Carter wrote 3 of them, which... questionable where he should have written 3 of them, but there wasn't enough room to really go around. If we've got about 10 episodes and more, maybe we'll get them back, because if it's like one episode from Vince, one episode from Frank, and then say Glenn, James, Dan Morgan again, that's probably a bit more variety, and that's probably where X-Files works best, when you've got a multitude of writers working. So I'd like to think so, but I guess it might come down to purely how many episodes season 11 is.
Yeah. No, I think so. I mean, Mark Snow reckoned it might be 13, or they want to do 13 at least. But a lot of the rumor mill tends to be around 10. That like you say, that does tend to be what people are suggesting. If we do get season 11, then that's roughly what it's going to be. So it does open up more options for people to, you know, for more people to come in and write. Sarah, what about you? Are you a big Vince Gilligan fan? Do you love a lot of his episodes?
I am. Oh, absolutely. Yes, he's one of my favorite writers. You know, he's brilliant. And, you know, along with Darren Morgan, they're probably my two favorite writers on the show. And otherwise, I love Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul and all of those. So, yeah, I'm a big Vince Gilligan fan. I'd love to see him come back. I think it would be great.
And it'd be interesting to see what kind of episode he did, because obviously he can write comedy. We've seen him write comedy. We've seen him write some really sort of, you know, scary drama. We've seen him write some great character stuff. You know, he's got a broad range. So he could potentially do anything, really.
And the best is when he does a little bit of both, you know.
Yeah.
When he's so good at it too, you know, he can blend the comedy with the terrifying and make it all work somehow.
It might depend on when Darren Morgan comes back, because if Darren's coming back, he's obviously going to do another comedy episode, so it depends how many comedy episodes we have in, like, say 10 episodes, but maybe it's a blend of both that might work.
That's true. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Let's hope Vince finds, you know, if we get season 11, let's hope he finds a window. So thanks, Michael Little, for that question. That's a really good one. That's the end of the questions for people who've written into us. But we've got one final one, which is quite a fun one, really. We did have some fun with this at the time. This this is what we're going to finish on. So which X-Files character guys would you most like to go for a drink with, and why? Now, this isn't a drink in the, you know, necessarily the romantic sense, although it can be if you want, you know, it's up to you. It can just be a socializing drink. It can just be people you want to hang out with. So let's start in this one. Let's start with Baz. Who would you go for? Who would you go for a drink for, and why?
I don't know. It's a difficult one. I'd like to think probably the Lone Gunmen. That'd be a lot of fun. Just listening to their conspiracy theories, I think, would make for a very entertaining evening.
Yeah, I think you'd have some fun with those guys. Sarah, what about you?
I second the Lone Gunmen and also Skinner.
No, sure. Obviously.
You had to
be Skinner.
Well, I just want to know, you know, like, what's he doing when he's not on screen? Like, where's he? Like, there's so many things he does behind the scenes that we don't get to see. Like, I just want to know about all of that.
We saw him hanging out at that restaurant, yeah. Didn't we? When he got shot by a Luis Cardinal. He had that, and they all knew him. He used to go there every day at his paper. Everyone knew who he was.
Oh, I just watched the episode the other day. All of a sudden, we're just like, oh, hey, he's getting a divorce. And it's like, oh, he had a wife? Like, what is all this? He's got this whole secret life off screen. I just want to know about all that. Yeah.
Avatar, where the succubus.
Yes, Avatar, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you were always going to say Skinner. We knew where that was
obviously.
Going.
And in Triangle, when he makes the phone call and he gets the information for Scully, he's like, oh yeah, here it is. Like, here you go. Like, okay, that was totally random. How did he get that?
That she plants
the
smacker
on him. Talking to
you?
He's got friends in high places. Yeah.
Yeah. We did have a few. We did have one or two comments. We had. John David Evans said, I know it's a bit of a boring answer, but it has to be Mulder and Scully, because I bet they can tell you some wild stories over a drink at the pub and maybe get a chance to get involved with the cases like the Lone Gunman is, and to be a trusted person for Mulder. He said, and Scully is the first character I fancied as a kid growing up watching The X-Files. You never know, I might get a chance with her. So he wants to help them out, but also he's secretly trying to pull Scully. I like it. I like it, John. That's a good little tactic.
Very good.
Paige, who would you go for?
Well, my easy answer is Krychek, but I don't want to be killed for it, so maybe I should take it down. My blog answer was Reyes, because I find her kind of fascinating, whale song aside. But I think who I'd really pick would be Jose Chung, because I just thought he was fun. He has these great stories. I could just listen to stories of his for hours.
Yeah, he was mine, Jose Chung. I just think,
stole it.
He's wonderful. He's wonderful. I just, yeah, this, oh, he's great. You would just end up, if you were out with Jose Chung, you'd end up in a coffee shop. You'd start at a coffee shop and you'd end up on a ferry to, like, the Bahamas within an hour, right? Completely drunk. And you'd wake up and he'd go, oh, look where we are. It'd be brilliant. I'd love it. Jess Thompson said probably Scully. We're both in the forensic science field. I'm a forensic anthropologist. We're both headstrong women and we can chat about working in a male-dominated field. I like that answer. That's a great answer, because she'd like to go out and just pick Scully's mind and, you know, be very, be very much talk about the kind of things they do and share that sense that they're both, you know, they're fighting against the male tide. That's really nice. That's a really nice answer. I think Scully would be a great, like, I think you could go and have a lovely dinner with Scully and you have some really intelligent conversation. Mulder would take you to, like, a pool bar with a stripper in the background, probably, and just with a pizza. Right? Whereas Scully, you go to a nice fine restaurant and, you know, you'd have like elegant, somebody on the piano, maybe. That's what I think, anyway. I don't know about you guys.
Is this your date with Scully?
Yes, I'm about? Just imagining it now in my head. That's why I drifted off. Carl, you said on the blog, Queequeg, because walking dogs is great exercise and a good opportunity to listen to podcasts. Yeah. do you stand by that one?
Well, actually, I think my initial instinct, I was going to say Mulder, but then I remember that scene in the Fight the Future. And actually, I don't know if Mulder would be that good a drinking companion, actually.
it might be kind of depressing.
Yeah, I think it actually would be much sort of more rowdy and more fun person to drink with. I think you'd get some Marine stories from his days in the Marines. So I think if I had to choose, I'd say John Doggett with Queequeg number two.
Maybe both. Maybe you could just take Queequeg with you, like when you're out with John. You know, it's, it works. It's okay. That's who would you most like to go for a drink with, guys? Everybody listening, you need to tell us this one. You need to let us know on Twitter at @X_cast and email us at thexfcast@gmail.com. Let us know who you think would be the best X-Files character to go out either to for a nice dinner, like Scully, either to a pool bar with Mulder, or even, you know, just out with the dog, you know, anything, whatever. Let us know. Or out on a boat to, you know, to like Timbuktu with Jose Chung. But yeah, let us know.
Let us know which X-Cast blogger you'd like to go for a drink for as well when you've done that.
No.
Nice.
If we do another round table, I think we're going to have to ask that one, definitely. That would be an interesting conversation. That brings us to the end then of our first round table. We're going to hopefully do more of these. I think this has gone all right, guys, don't you?
Woo!
Lots of fun, yay!
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's gone all right.
Hey, and my kids are still asleep. Woo!
Excellent.
I don't know how that... I'll tell you what, Sarah, I think that's an X-File in itself.
It is.
Somehow. How they haven't woken up, I don't know. Yeah, we need to send Mulder and Scully around for that one. Or whoever, doesn't have to be Mulder and Scully, as we've said.
Miracles happen.
But no, it's been really nice to do this. It's been a real nice change of pace. And hopefully, everyone, you've enjoyed a little bit of a different X-Cast this week from our usual episodes or interviews or things like that. This all stems from our fantastic blog, the X-Cast blog. Hopefully, we will be soon a domain. I am looking into making this a bit better now as we go into 2017. And we've got an amazing blog team, which includes all the fine people I've been talking to tonight and talking with tonight, I should say, and loads of other people who do articles for the blog and everything like that. So please, please check it out because they write some amazing stuff and it's really worth, if you're an X-Files fan, we're hopefully starting to build something, a little community that, you know, you really might enjoy being part of. So check it out. Let's go around the table then and find out where people can find out more about where you guys are and what you're doing. So let's start at the top again. Sarah.
Yes, I'm at sarahlblair.com and on Twitter at sarahlblair.
Okay, and Carl?
Yeah, you can find me. I'm on Twitter at csweeney758. I'm also contributing stuff to the X-Cast blog, and I'm contributing stuff to the Facebook group as well.
Wonderful. Paige?
Oh, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know. I'm on Twitter. My name is X-Pay. I do a blog, a rewatch blog with my sister called Sibling Cinema. I think that's now siblingscinema.com. And I'm on the X-Cast podcast message board and Facebook group a lot.
Yeah, and a shout out to Paige's blog because we're currently posting all the reviews on our page right now that on our page quite literally, which we're doing every day, and it's a great little blog, and it's really nice to see the list, read those reviews. So keep it going, Paige, because we're really
Thank
loving
you
it.
Very much.
Baz, how about you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Baz Greenland. I've also got a writer page on Facebook, so it's Baz, a page called Baz Greenland Writer. And I also, I'm actually been revisiting all the X-Files myself, so I've been spent the last year and a half working with the key episodes, and that's on thedigitalfix.com. So I'm currently working my way through season 9 at the moment.
Yeah, it's pretty epic mission you've been on there. It's pretty great that you've got there.
Yeah, it's been about selected episodes, about 15 episodes from every season. So I've cut out a few duds, but I've kind of covered all the big mythology ones and all the really good episodes. So I've almost in a season 9. I'm going to do the second movie, then I'm going to finish off and revisit season 10 again. And hopefully by that point it'll be season 11 to come as well.
Fingers crossed, fingers crossed. Yeah. What's next after the X-Files? Have you got anything planned?
It's a Twin Peaks visit, actually. Because obviously, I've literally just rewatched the first season now. So when X-Files finishes early in the new year, we'll revisit every episode of Twin Peaks before the revival. So I'm very excited for that as well. Plus the Digital Fix has got a lot of kind of TV content as well on there. So a bit plug for that as well. So check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, Digital Fix is great, yeah. So keep an eye on Baz's reviews. Twin Peaks is going to be a fun one to go back and watch before we get season 3 of that, so next year, hopefully. So, that's great. Thanks, guys. It's really good. Go and check out everybody. Go and check out what they do. You can find us, as I say, on Twitter, on Facebook, as I've said earlier in the podcast. We're also on iTunes if you like us and leave us a review. That'd be amazing, just to get us more known in the X-Files fandom out there and on the podcast. You know, we're starting to take off, but we want 2017 to be the biggest year yet. So that's the aim. So help us out with that. That'd be brilliant. As I say, check out the blog. So yeah, we'll be back soon for a brand new episode. As I've said before, I never know quite what it's going to be. Now, I've given up trying to go, oh, next week it'll be an episode, or next week it'll be an invite. I don't know. There'll be an episode. God knows what it'll be, but it'll be good. I'm not very good at selling this, am I? but yeah, just tune in, and we'll be back for some more X-Files stuff. So, a last big thank you, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tony.
And remember, everybody, as always, trust no one.